In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
I'll start with a little Veterans Day story for you. I had the privilege of visiting the Minneapolis Institute of Art this past week. There's a new gallery just opened featuring art from the Vietnam War era. All of it was thought-provoking. A lot of it, as you might imagine, was quite disturbing. Quite disturbing. But among all the disturbing pieces that commented on the horrors of war and the pain of aftermath, there's a set of photos that was quite the opposite. You see, in 1967, Marines gave a directive allowing troops to give supplies directly to the Vietnamese people without regard to whether they were North or South Vietnamese. That's a historical fact. Started in 1967. In January of 1967 alone, in that 1 month, Marines gave away over 100,000 pounds of food, over 12,000 pairs of socks, over 15,000 pounds of their own soap and personal hygiene products, and performed 530 haircuts to boot. Now you should see the faces in the exchanges between these heavily armed Marines and these extremely impoverished villagers. The faces in the photos are priceless. Humanity connecting in the midst of the most horrible conditions. Now the cynic might say, it was all political propaganda, just trying to sell the war back home because it was so unpopular. Well, the cynic would be missing the point. These weren't supplies being delivered from above. These were individual Marines giving from their personal rations. All they got from above was permission. Permission and the freedom to help all Vietnamese villagers without regards to whose side they were on. And just being given that permission allowed the goodness of humanity to flourish in a very dark time. Now today in our gospel reading, we were treated to perhaps the most famous, the most well-known of all of Jesus' parables, the story of the Good Samaritan. Now even those who have never heard the story are often familiar with the term Good Samaritan. In popular mind, it's someone who stops to help and give aid to a stranger, to someone they don't know. That's what we mean in popular culture when we say the Good Samaritan. Although when we hear the story as a whole, there's some layered meaning that we don't want to miss, making it deeper than just helping strangers. First of all, the victim in this story, it says, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. There's layered meaning here that the Lord's hearers would have picked up on immediately. This is no innocent journey. It's not like saying a man went from Clear Lake to Clayton. Jerusalem is the holy city. Jerusalem is God's dwelling place. Jerusalem is the city of peace, the place where God visits his people. Jericho was notorious. Jericho was the bad place. Jericho was Sin City. Jericho was where corruption flourished. Saying a man went from Jerusalem to Jericho is like saying a man left his wife and kids at church and went to the wrong side of the tracks to meet his bookie at the meth lab. Oh, and he fell among robbers. In other words, most of the Lord's audience is thinking, well, he had it coming. He left Jerusalem for Jericho. It's his own fault. But then Jesus has the religious leaders, a priest and a Levite, pass by on the other side. Because it's the victim's own fault, because he's a sinner of himself, it must be God's vengeance. It must be that he got what's coming to him. All the ways we like to point our finger at somebody else. And the last thing I want is to be defiled by this sinner's sin. But along comes a Samaritan. Now, the interesting thing about a Samaritan, he's not just a stranger. He's not just a stranger. He's actually an adversary, something of an enemy, a cultural and social opposite. In other words, he's the last person you want to see when you're laying in the road and somebody's coming to help you. But he's the one who shows compassion. He's the one who shows mercy. He's the true neighbor, and he helps. Even though one could argue that the victim is partially to blame for going from Jerusalem to Jericho, the Samaritan still helps. Now today we have an extra celebration here. We're blessing a few fire trucks from the Clayton Fire Department. That's quite exciting, although I do wonder what someone might think if they're driving by the church this morning. What's going on at Holy Trinity? But it's much more than blessing the vehicle itself. When you listen to the prayer later, you'll hear that we not only bless the vehicle, but we also bless the people who will use the vehicle. We bless the people that will provide the service to their neighbor. And it's a blessing also of those who might need the services of the people operating the vehicle. In blessing these vehicles, we not only ask God's grace and protection on you, we are also affirming and sealing with God's Spirit the noble work that you do. You know, those who have chosen to work for the Clayton Fire Department, and really for any emergency service anywhere in our world, have really chosen a path that our Savior illustrated in his Good Samaritan story. When the emergency call comes, you don't have the option to decide if the person's worthy or not. Sometimes it's the victim's own fault, whether fully or partially. Sometimes it's someone you know. In a small town, I would guess it's often someone you know. Occasionally, it might be an adversary, a cultural or social opposite, the last person you want to see. But in that moment, you're the one who brings compassion, you're the one who brings mercy, and you're the true neighbor. And just like those Marines back in 1967 Vietnam, you don't and you can't check what side someone is on before deciding whether or not to help. You just help. I think we can learn something in our personal lives, not only from the Savior's story, but from professional lives of emergency service workers. You know, as representatives of their fire department, their community, their hospital, their police department, their county, whoever they represent, emergency service workers do not have the option to help some and ignore others. And if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, then we are his representatives. And bearing the name of Jesus Christ, we do not have the option of serving some and ignoring others. As we heard in the epistle today, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We're bearing his name, and therefore we are called and commissioned by God, by the God of love, to serve anyone who comes our way. And Jesus does not offer us the option of deciding if they might be to blame for their situation. As bearers of the name of Jesus Christ, we act like Christ. We act like Christ who shows no partiality, who loves both the righteous and the sinner equally, who suffered and died for every human being on the face of the earth without regard to race or sex or social status or history or sin or brokenness. He loves them all, and he offers his life to every one of those, even if they're to blame for their own situation, even if they're to blame for their own sin. And if we really put our faith in this Jesus of Nazareth, if you are really sealed in his name and in his Holy Spirit, then it's not only your job, but really your life, to be the one who shows compassion, to be the one who brings mercy, and to be the true neighbor. Amen.